Good afternoon. I'd like to call the Legacy Finance Division meeting to order. Today we're just going to kind of walk through the, have an informal hearing on the agreed upon bill that the governor and the Senate and the House have agreed upon. Hopefully there's on the internet, everybody that's in the crowd can kind of get the copies and see, and we'll have the staff help us go through a walkthrough. I just want to start off that it the process has been quite interesting. There's some things in all these processes that we all like and that we don't like and might really like a lot, and stuff that we really hate. So I think overall there's all of that in this bill, but I'm really excited to see that it's come together, and I think Minnesota in the end can be really proud of the work. And I look around the room and just so many people are out doing good work on the legacy effort and spending the dollars in so many projects and all the funds. And you know, it's really been an honor, I think, for all of us to work on these issues. And I've really enjoyed serving with the members of the committee, and thank you. I know Representative Erdahl needs, he has some, a team of grandkids in the Capitol, and just want to specifically thank you for your, the years that you were involved with this, and thank you for that. I don't know if you wanted to make a quick comment before you leave. Maybe I'll just do that at this time so you can go ahead. Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and you know, thank you for the work. I know from personal experience what it's like to put this together. Not quite as easy as you thought it was going to be, is it?
That is correct.
And I'm sure that you know, Chair Murphy has the same sentiments. I have not been able to look in depth yet, obviously, but I've been assured that it's a fine piece of legislation. Again, thank you for all of your work, and hopefully things will go smoothly with this.
Thank you, Representative Erdahl. I particularly want to thank you. I know as a previous chair, you've guided me in multiple ways of the minefields, and I thank you for that.
And just finish. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just finishing up, my grandson and his class of third graders from Wilshire Elementary in St. Anthony Village have been at the History Center all morning. My wife and I have been chasing them around, the six that I am charged with, and I have a great new appreciation for elementary school teachers. And they are now over in the Capitol getting a tour there. I'm going to try to get them onto the floor and you know, meet with them for a little bit more. So that's where I have to leave now to chase third grade boys.
Thank you, Representative Erdahl. And also on our committee, we have Representative Murphy, a previous chair of this committee, and got us off to a great start. And she also has a few things on her plate and may have to go now or soon. Representative Murphy, thank you. You've also guided me all through the process, and I'm grateful for that. And every day you have some pearls of wisdom that help me, and I'm grateful. And I don't envy you in your personal task with the big bill ahead of you, but I know you'll do great work there. But thank you for your time on this committee. I don't know if you care to make any comments, but you certainly got Legacy off to a good start, and I think our team here on both sides of the aisle have tried to respect that. And obviously, I would say the people in the crowd also have heard you and tried to carry that forth. I was tempted to do what you did in the very first year, where you had people stay till I think you covered the clock, and then had them go way into the morning. But
it was 10-4, Mr. Chair.
Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, it was late. It was probably too late, but people chose to stay. And we've come so far in these 10 years, and you can be very proud for your accomplishments this year and what you were what you put as priorities for yourself and for the committee, and we appreciate that a lot. And we appreciate the inclusion of the vice chair's work, and we are ready to work forward as we go along. But I really appreciate that you kept with the principles and the outcomes that are in the guide. And if people wanted to stray, you brought them back to that. And we are supplementing things rather than supplanting. And that's something that we have to keep reminding some of the people from other funds, that we cherish the idea that we can supplement, but we do not constitutionally supplant. And you've opened the door for us to try to get one of the things we talked about on that late night, of getting things possibly rolling at some point before 2025, where the four funds together have a few projects and work toward the same common goal, with people from the four funds working together and connecting all across the state. And I really appreciate, yesterday I got, as a result of the passion that you let me continue to have, I got a book on with pictures of all the Minnesota libraries from Judge Thiessen in my mailbox.
Oh, wow.
He said, I was at the bookstore the other day and came across this book and thought of you. And there's stories in that book, or chapters in that book, that were written by several Minnesota authors about what the libraries meant to them. And with the little book that you have, the genesis of, I'm so looking forward to what we can produce in that book. And so let's go forth and do better every single year that we have appropriations before us from the Legacy Fund that was created by the citizens of Minnesota.
Thank you, Chair Murphy, and thank you for, I mean that sincerely, for all your help for me in this role, but the committee and laying forth a great base and vision for the state. And good luck on your task.
Thank you.
I also want to thank the other members on the committee, and I'm going to kind of move around the table, but I want to go to Representative Wagenius as well, because Representative Wagenius, you were the leader from the beginning and got this on the ballot, and I mean, really, should really get haikus for that, of course. And you know, we are the envy of the nation with what the base, and I know we disappoint you in different ways, and you know, at certain times, in particular in the water or different things, because we know how pure your heart is, and want good things for Minnesota. But I just want to give you public credit for getting this and laying the base with Senator, with the Senator, Senator Cohen, perhaps, and others. And I always say that the first word on the ballot was chosen by you, and that was water. And you know, we all care about the arts, we all care about the trails and the other parts, but you put that forth. But I don't know if you care to comment at this time, Representative Wagenius, but thank you for laying that great base. I want to thank my vice chair, Representative Wozelik. It's been good to grow together in this role, and I you've had some good input and helpful critiques at time, and but thank you for your leadership, and you've been definitely a leader on different things, and figure like Forever Green and some of the things that we find in the bill. I'd like to Representative Heitzman is not here at this time. He's the GOP lead, but he's right down the hall for me, and he's been great to work with. Representative Bo, thank you for all you've done. You've definitely, in your freshman term, as many of our team have really hit the ground running, and you're doing a great job, and looks like you're in charge of the whole caucus, so you have four or five votes or whatever it is, so good luck. Maybe they all put proxies in. We're not voting today, but and Representative Zhang, thank you very much for being here and offering as strong leadership on some of the, you know, reaching out to Changing Minnesota in particular, and showing great leadership in those areas and others, and also have hit the ground running, so that's great. And Representative Green's not here right now, and I don't know if he's coming, but I think I actually very much publicly, I want to say this, I appreciate Representative Green. He, I'm not sure he really wants to be on this committee. I think there's things he doesn't like about legacy, but you know, that's healthy to have that, to have the eye, and he's thoughtful and concerned about how the money is spent, and I greatly respect him for his efforts. But so I'm sorry to blabber on here, but I you know, our staff, I just want to thank you. I'm kind of going backwards here, but I'm gonna start with Mike, and did a great job, and Joe, thank you. But our the partisan staff, thank you for Margaret and Harry, thank you for being involved. I tried to include you as best I could, and at different points and through the process, you've offered good ideas. So today we've asked our star staff, and I can't imagine how you're holding up. You probably fell asleep while I'm talking, so I gave you a little nap time. I hope you used it well. But I don't know how you're doing it, because I know you have multiple areas you're working on and worrying about, but really thank you for your work. You were there in the end in the final room after we got the leaders got involved, because we had some things that we couldn't agree on and on the bill, and then the staff really helped right to the end, and I'm sure you're still working on, well, you're done with us, I think, but maybe, or no, I don't know, but
I hope so.
So please, hopefully. So if you could possibly go through the bill, we've asked them to go through the bill, and then so we'll go from there. I don't know who's first. Mr. Hagemeyer?
Mr. Chair, if you don't mind, we'll just probably go through the spreadsheet first. Might be the easiest. There's two different ones you have in front of you. I'm just going to be going through the vertical spreadsheet. It could be the same as the other one. It's called Omnibus Legacy Funding Finance Revisor Document Number 19-5218. And as you mentioned, we are all a little tired, so I'm probably going to slip up a few times here. Just bear with me. I'm going to go fairly quickly through Outdoor Heritage, but then I'll go line by line in Clean Water Fund. You do have a second spreadsheet with you. You can see what the changes are compared to what the House and Senate positions were during regular session, but we do have a new document in front of us for special session at some point. So starting on the top of the document, you'll see for Outdoor Heritage under the Prairie Subdivision, there are 11 projects being funded at $38,303,000. And like I said, I'm just going to summarize these because they have not changed basically since the beginning of when they're introduced. Subdivision 3, the forestry portion, there's six projects totaling $17,032,000. Subdivision 4, the wetlands area, there are eight projects totaling $20,753,000. Under the habitats on Subdivision 5, there are 16 projects totaling $50,119,000. Subdivision 6 is the administration portion. There are four appropriations totaling $1.485 million. The first-year total appropriation for Outdoor Heritage Fund is $127,127,000. That brings us right to a 5% reserve for the first fiscal year. There are some of the admin money that gets appropriated for the second year, but the Outdoor Heritage Fund receives annual appropriations at this point. If you go to the top of the second page, you can see those reserve calculations that I mentioned. Starting on line 109, we have the Clean Water Fund, and for this one, I can go line by line if you'd like, because there have been more changes, both in the House and Senate and this final document. Line 112 is monitoring for pesticides in the surface and groundwater. It's appropriated at $700,000. Nitrates in groundwater is $5,170,000. The Ag BMP loan program receives $150,000. The technical assistance program receives $3 million. Line 116, the academic research and evaluation that had been proposed earlier is not being funded. Line 117, research inventory database receives $100,000. Line 118, the Minnesota Agricultural Water Quality Certification Program receives $3 million per year, a total of $6 million. Line 119, the Irrigation Water Quality Protection receives $300,000. Line 120, the Forever Green Agricultural Initiative receives $4.3 million. Line 121, the pesticide testing of private wells receives $2 million. And the previously appropriation for vegetative cover and soil health that was in previous documents is not being funded. The total for the Department of Agriculture is $21,720,000. Starting on line 124, you'll see the Public Facilities Authority. They received two appropriations. The first one is for point source implementation grants. It's $18 million. And then there's $250,000 for the Small Community Wastewater Treatment Program. That's it for the Public Facilities Authority. On line 128, we start the Pollution Control Agency. On line 129, the Continue River and Lake Monitoring and Assessment Efforts to Meet the 10-Year Cycle. It receives $16,300,000. There's a carve-out of $150,000 in that rider for the Red River Water Management Board for the River Watch Program. Line 131 is restoration, Watershed Restoration and Protection Strategies. It receives $15.1 million. Line 132 is groundwater assessment, receives $2,364,000. Line 133, the Great Lakes Restoration Project receives $1.5 million. Line 134, wastewater and stormwater NPDES and TMDL implementation equals $1.8 million. Line 135 is enhanced county inspections, SSTS corrective actions, and it receives $6.75 million. Line 136 is the accelerated implementation of municipal stormwater permits. It's $400,000. Line 137 is the National Park Water Quality Protection Program, receives $1,550,000. Line 138, the Chloride Reduction Program, receives $500,000. Line 139 was a proposal from the Water Commission for the public information campaign that was not included in this. And then line 140 is the Clean Water Council budget for $220,000. The total appropriation to PCA is $46,484,000. Starting on line 142 is the Department of Natural Resources. On 143, we have stream flow monitoring. It's $4 million. The Lake Index of Biological Integrity Assessment receives $2.5 million. On line 145, fish contamination assessment receives $270,000. 146, the Watershed Restoration and Protection Strategies receives $3.8 million. Line 147, aquifer monitoring for water supply planning receives $4,150,000. Line 148, the non-point source restoration and protection activities receives $2 million. Line 149, the applied research and tools receives $1.4 million. Line 150, the county geologic atlases receives $300,000. Line 151, appropriation for buffer map maintenance is $200,000. Previously, there were programs for color infrared imagery analysis and Forest for the Future, and those are not funded in this document. In total, the Department of Natural Resources receives $18,620,000. Starting on line 155 is the Board of Water and Soil Resources. On 156, the grants to watersheds with multi-year plans receives $26,966,000. On line 157, the surface and drinking water protection and restoration grants receives $32 million. Line 158 is accelerated implementation, and that receives $8 million. And we'll go on to the top of page 3. The measures, recounts, and measures, results, and accountability receives $2 million. Shoreland Buffer Compliance Program receives $5 million. Riparian Buffer Permit Conservation Easements receives $9.5 million. On Line 162, Targeted Wellhead Drinking Water Protection receives $4 million. Line 163 is Technical Evaluation and receives $168,000. On Line 164, the One Watershed One Planning is $4 million. On Line 165, the Conservation Drainage Management Assistance is $1.7 million. On 166 is the Conservation Reserve Enhancement Program that receives $17,250,000. On Line 167, the Critical Shoreland Protection Permanent Conservation Easements receives $3 million. On Line 168, the Tillage and Erosion Transects receives $850,000. And the Water Legacy Grants Program and Enhancing Landowner Adoption of Cover Crops were not included in this bill. Line 171 is grants for SWCD for their administration. It receives $12 million per year. On Line 172, the statewide watershed monitoring activities in schools was not funded. The total appropriation to the Board of Water and Soil Resources is $138,434,000. Starting on Line 174 is the Department of Health. On Line 175, the Drinking Water Contaminants of Emerging Concern Program is $3.4 million. Source Water Protection is $5.494 million. The Well Sealing Cost Share Program was not funded in this bill. Line 178, Groundwater Restoration and Protection Strategies receives $1.1 million. Line 179, Private Well Water Supply Protection receives $1.5 million. Line 180, the Groundwater Virus Monitoring Plan receives $500,000. Line 181, Drinking Water Protection receives $500,000. And Line 182, Water Reuse receives $500,000. The total appropriation to the Department of Health is $12,994,000. If you go to Line 184, it starts the Metropolitan Council. There are a couple appropriations here. Line 185, the Metropolitan Area Water Supply Sustainability Support receives $2 million. Line 186, the Water Demand Reduction Grant Pilot Program receives $750,000. And there are no, the Inflow and Infiltration Grant Program was not included in this document. In total, it was $2,750,000 that's appropriated to the Metropolitan Council. Starting on Line 189, we have the University of Minnesota. Line 190 is the County Geologic Atlases. They received $500,000. Line 191 is Stormwater BMP Performance Evaluation and Technology Transfer. It receives $1.5 million. And the appropriations for Clean Water Return on Investment Pilot and the CARP Management were not included in this. Total appropriation to the University of Minnesota was $2 million. Under the Legislative Coordinating Commission, you'll see there's $9,000. That's for the portion of the legacy website paid for from the Clean Water Fund. In total, on Line 198, you'll see the first year we spent $134,518,000. The second year is $126,743,000. And we maintain a 5% reserve at the end of the biennium. That's it for clean water. We can go to the Parks and Trails Fund on 211. This maintains the 40-40-20 split. Starting on Line 214, you have the State Parks and Trails Recreation Areas, receives $40,096,000. Line 215, you have the grants to parks and trails of regional and statewide significance outside the metro area. It receives $20,049,000. There's a carve-out in there for the commission operations of $902,000. Before the 40-40-20 split, there's a off-the-top amount for the Parks and Trails collaboration among partners. That's $1,012,000. If you go to Line 220, you see the appropriation to the Metropolitan Council for the Metro Parks as distributed by statute, and they also receive $40,096,000. If you go to the top of the fourth page, you will see the LCC Commission website. This is a portion attributed here for that website, $4,000. In total, $101,257,000 is appropriated out of the Parks and Trails Fund. It maintains a 5% reserve in both years. And that's it for these portions. I think Ms. Roberts will take over for the Arts Fund.
Thank you, Mr. Hagemeyer. Ms. Roberts?
Mr. Chair, moving on to the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund, the first agency is the Arts Board, and that's funded at $65.65 million, and that's the statutory 47% of available resources. And you can see the breakdown there for the different programs. For the Minnesota Historical Society, for their two larger grant programs, the statewide historic and cultural grants gets $12.85 million, mm-hmm. and the statewide history programs also receives $12.85 million. And then you'll see on line 250 out of that amount, there's the carve-out for the legacy book for elementary school students of $250,000 per year. Moving on to line 252, for the history partnerships, there's $5 million. For the statewide survey of historical and archaeological sites, $1 million. $750,000 for the digital library. And then moving on to the grants, the Litchfield Opera House, which was in the House, does not receive any funding. The Minnesota Military Museum has $200,000 in the first year. The General John Vesey Catalog at the Military Museum is at $115,000. The Isanti County Moody School and Grandy Union Church receives $40,000. And then the Grindstone River Dam at Hinckley, this is a grant to DNR to maintain the history of the dam, receives $150,000. So the subtotal for the Historical Society is $32.95 million. Moving on to the Department of Education, on line 261, you'll see the regional public libraries are funded at $5.1 million. There's also $100,000 included for the Water Safety Grant Program. So the total funding for the Department of Education is $5.2 million. For the Department of Administration, the first item is on line 265. That's Minnesota Public Radio, $3.475 million. Ampers Public Radio also receives $3.475 million. And out of that, there is a $75,000 carve-out for the Veterans Voices Korean War Project. For Minnesota Public Television, on line 268, $8.92 million. And out of this, in the first year, there's a $950,000 carve-out for the Twin Cities Public Television Minnesota Journey project. For the Wilderness Inquiry Canoe Mobile on line 270, $750,000. The Como Zoo receives $2.7 million. The Science Museum of Minnesota, $1.3 million. On line 273 for the Lake Superior Center and Great Lakes Aquarium, $150,000. The Lake Superior Zoo receives $150,000. Midwest Outdoors Unlimited, $50,000. The Phelan Park China Garden on line 276, $400,000 in the first year. The Green Giant Museum, $141,000. And then the Martin County Veterans Memorial is funded at $100,000. So the total for the Department of Administration is $21.6 million. And then at the bottom of that page, you can see the Minnesota Zoo is funded at $3.5 million. Moving on to the last page for the Humanities Center. The first line, 284, these are the programs for the center itself, are funded at $2.1 million. And then after that, we'll go through the fiscal agent. The center serves as the fiscal agent for a variety of different programs. The first is the Children's Museums. The Minnesota Children's Museum receives $1,050,000. And then there's also the Rochester STEM Museum, which is part of the Minnesota Children's Museum, is funded at $100,000. And then if you'll see, the House bill had funded individual grants to the individual museums, but this bill or document on line 294 provides $1.25 million for children's museum startups and expansion grants. Again, moving down to line 298, you'll see the community identity and heritage grants funded at $1.7 million. And then underneath that, you'll see the two carve-outs or set-asides for $250,000 designated for Hmong Heritage Grants, and then $250,000 for Somali Heritage Grants. And then finally, on line 301, the Civic Education Competitive Grants are funded at $200,000. So the total for the Humanities Center is $6.4 million. For the Indian Affairs Council, going through the different programs, there's the grants to the tribal nations to preserve the Dakota and Ojibwe languages at $1.26 million. The language immersion educational institution, $790,000. Indian educational immersion efforts at $100,000 for the language working group, and then $140,000 for duties under the Public Law, Public Cemeteries Act. And that is a total of $3.55 million. On line 310, for the University of Minnesota Board of Regents, there is $100,000 included for the Bell Museum of Natural History. And then under the Department of Agriculture, for the county fair grants, $800,000. And finally, on line 317, you'll see this fund's share of the Legislative Coordinating Commission website at $6,000. So the total from the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund is $139,772,000. And as with other funds, you'll see the calculation at the bottom, and this fund retains a 5% reserve.
Thank you, Ms. Roberts. Good job, both of you. How are we? Are we going through any language? I can't remember how we're. I think we're pretty good there. So, any questions from members? Representative Jung.
Chair, and perhaps staff can share information, but line 295, the American Indian Legacy Grant Program, is that being appropriated from the other programs? Or, because I see that there's nothing from the Senate and it's left out, but then you guys did include the Hmong cultural and Somali under the Community Identity and Heritage Grants. I'm just curious what happened to that. Or where is it getting appropriation, or if it's getting any appropriation?
Were you able to hear him? Ms. Mullen.
Chair and members, Mary Mullen from House Research. Representative Jung, I think you're looking at the program.
295.
Yeah, Chair and members, the American Indian Legacy Grant Program, the Hmong Cultural Events and Programming Grants, and the Somali Community Museum and Cultural Grants were consolidated into a grant program called the Community Identity and Heritage Grants. This grant program was first funded in 2015, and it creates a grant program for multiple different cultural groups to do heritage and arts grants. There's a carve-out for the Hmong Heritage Grants and Somali Heritage Grants in the first year, but the entire fund otherwise is accessible to different groups, and there's a priority for Indigenous arts and culture in the entire fund, and then in the second year it's opened up completely to any group, but there is still a priority for Indigenous arts and culture.
Representative Jung, does that kind of answer the question? It's
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Mullen. Any other member questions, or perhaps we could go to, we have some folks that would like to come up. In the sake of time, I know there's some other bills that are moving through the legislature and have hearings at the same time, so if we can keep the public comments to, say, around 3 minutes, if that's possible. We have someone from the Minnesota Indian Affairs Council, if you'd be, or maybe, are they here? Or? Seeing none? Oh, sorry. Hi.
Hello.
Welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Hi. Welcome to the Legacy Committee, and thank you for joining us today. Please state your names and go ahead when you're ready, please.
Anine, Mr. Chair and committee members, Indigenous Cause Shannon Gijik.
Minnesota Indian Affairs Council. And I have with me today Melanie Franks, also of the Minnesota Indian Affairs Council. I wanted to acknowledge the growth and expansion of the Dakota and Ojibwe Language Revitalization Program at MIAC. The legacy amendment funding has been vital to that growth and the overall revival of our languages. Saving our language is the same as preserving our identities as Dakota and Ojibwe people. This is in perfect alignment of and the very reason the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund was created. The Minnesota Indian Affairs Council would like to thank the committee for the thought and effort you put forth with this bill. We want to especially thank Representative Erdahl, who obviously had to leave earlier, but wanted to publicly commend him for his work on this bill. With this language, it is apparent that you listened when the tribal leaders asked that the agencies not be named. That gives us more flexibility to be equitable and to expand our support to other immersion schools. It will also ensure compliance with the proposed Article 6 of the legacy amendment. I want to mention the appropriation specifically for the Dakota and Ojibwe Language Work Group. The goal for the work group is to meet and develop an evaluation and assessment tool for these language grants in order to gauge the effectiveness of this program funding. I look forward to reporting back to you upon its completion. We are grateful for your continuing support and look forward to strengthening our partnerships. Pidamea mi or chimigwich.
Thank you very much. And do you have?
No.
Okay.
Thank you for support.
Thank you very much for coming, and very much appreciate your comments. And it was a strong position of our entire committee, both sides of the aisle, to working on these the language preservations and efforts and some of these other things. And certainly there's some great efforts, and we just, Representative Lozlik and I had an opportunity to go down to the Arts Council board a few minutes ago, and they have a legacy art in their offices, and many of them are Native American or cultural art that's being told, stories that are being told, Hispanic art, Hmong art, Somali, and others, and Native, of course. But thank you very much for being here today. And
thank you.
And thank you. Ms. Chappell, is there?
Hi, I'm Stephanie Chappell of Glencoe, Minnesota. I'm here to represent.
Good afternoon, and welcome to our committee. Go ahead. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep.
I am a born, bred, and raised Minnesotan, a writer, a former educator, and also an eager historian. I'd like to speak to you today on 3 points, and the first one is to remove line 250 from the Minnesota Historical Society. It's for a legacy book for elementary school students, and as it is for education, I feel it would be better addressed in the Department of Education, directly below. My other two comments also have to do with the Minnesota Historical Society, and I would ask that these are for language changes. Both are additions. The first one deals with the complete section dealing with the Minnesota Historical Society, and that would be to add language just for the 2021 biennium. The reason is because there's a lot of misuse of funds, and although it may be completely unintentional, it appears that it could be intentional, and it would be a good reminder to just put a barrier on it for one biennium and see what happens. That would be to exclude all MNHS paid employees, board members, or other contractors, and other members, and employees who have interests or additional employment with any partnerships that the Historical Society enters into, and make them ineligible for any of the grants or proceeds of grants for the 2020 and 2021 biennium. This would help to eliminate what appears to be some conflict of interest that are not being disclosed, One off the top of my head would be $90,000 that was awarded to create a book. The publisher from MNHS Press, her husband was the author of a book, so there was direct cause and effect with the grant of this publishing of the book. If the site also, when you look at the legacy website, you'll see that that is still outstanding. It has not been cleaned up or anything to that nature. And that bothers me because it was done in 2016. There's been plenty of time to finish that grant and make sure that it's done and it's all followed through. Another one would be to limit the capital investment projects, to add language that any open capital investment project is ineligible to receive any legacy funds. What has happened in the past is there seems to be overindulgence on some of the members of the Historical Society where they have applied for a grant under legacy to get ready for revitalization at Historic Fort Snelling and other historical sites. The one that that falls into mind is $153,000 used to create more than two jobs that are directly related to planning for the capital investment of the revitalization of Fort Snelling. That's not something you do with legacy funds. That's something that you consider in planning. And at the same time, in 2016, it was also, the Historical Society also received capital investment for pre-planning of $4 million, and that's where that funding should have been used, was to create those jobs from that planning monies, and it was not used in that manner. So I thank you for the opportunity to speak today.
Thank you very much for coming today and speaking, and appreciate your time, and we've listen to you, and we'll consider those thoughts. And
thanks.
Ms. Pinkola? Welcome. Please state your name for the record, and go ahead when you're ready.
Yeah, as long as I don't fall on the floor. thank you, Chair Lilly, committee members. My name is Stephanie Pinkala, and I'm with the Nature Conservancy. It's okay, you'll get it next time. We want to first thank you for all of your work in crafting the legacy bill. The appropriations from the four funds in this bill will invest in important projects all around the state, particularly in that Outdoor Heritage Fund and Clean Water Fund. We know that those funds will go toward efforts to improve habitat, restore critical lands, and protect drinking water. We're also grateful for the citizen council members, experts, and stakeholders who invest their time to go through the process of crafting the recommendations to you, the legislature, from the Outdoor Heritage Fund and the Clean Water Fund. We're supportive of those council's recommendations because of the rigor involved in their decision-making and the relevant expertise of those council members. As a result, we do have a few concerns regarding the Clean Water Fund appropriations, which no longer mirror the council's recommendations. We all know how important funding for soil and water conservation districts is to make sure they have the resources they need to get conservation done around the state. However, we want to be on the record with our disappointment that the legislature did not identify a different funding source outside the Clean Water Fund. Soil and water conservation districts provide essential services to the state and were in place well before the creation of the legacy amendment. SWCDs are a permanent fixture as a delivery mechanism for conservation, unlike the Clean Water Fund, which is a temporary funding source. It's our hope that this is the last time the Clean Water Fund will have to be used to fund SWCDs, and that the legislature will make the commitment to find a consistent, stable funding source for SWCDs in the future. In order to make room to fund SWCDs, several new programs that the Clean Water Council had proposed and their recommendations were not funded, including the Forest for the Future program, vegetative cover and soil health, the Water Legacy Grants Program, and enhancing landowner adoption of cover crops, which are all programs that would have put the Clean Water Funds on the ground to help accomplish our clean water goals. Despite our concerns, we know the appropriations that are made in this bill will accomplish great benefits for conservation. So we thank you for all of your work to protect, restore, and enhance Minnesota's habitat and waters. Thanks.
Thank you very much to her. Representative Wiggins.
With her comments, which are legitimate, is there a provision that the money for soil and water conservation districts is restored at some point to the legacy fund?
Chair Wiggins, at this point there is not. Those words or that effort has been ran up the pole or whatever you say, whatever the proper words is. It's been requested that that it's considered to be added in, and so we're trying. You know, we're not done. We're not out of the legislature. Totally, everything's not signed, sealed, delivered. So that's been done in the past, and I was hoping very much that we could do that again. So, yeah, I was disappointed, like that was mentioned in the testimony there, that it was taken. That was not a House position, but it was part of the end deal, and definitely would like to see some ability to restore that money and not have this happen again. Yes is a valid argument. Representative, or Chair Wiggins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do have a couple of questions for the Department of Health, if you would let them come up.
Okay. Should we do that now, or should we? Could we just do one more public testifier, and then?
Okay, I thought that
he's
was
he's on our list. I'm sorry.
It wasn't.
And then, give him a chance to mentally prepare. Ms. Heller, Mr. Heller. Mr. Heller, please introduce yourself and go ahead. We've definitely worked with some of your suggestions in the past, and we've brought them to leadership as well, and they're trying to work on some of the things. Maybe you've got something new, so I should let you speak first. I'm sorry to interrupt. Mr. Heller.
My name is Rick Heller. I officially represent the twice exceptional House File 1370 or Minnesota Statute 120B15. Also, unofficially represent the people that are print disabled, also found in the Higher Education Opportunity Act of 2008 or IDEA Special Ed Law of 2004. It's an opportunity to come here to speak at this legacy finance. Nowhere in these reports, when they come back to the legislature, do they apply Minnesota Statute 16E.03 Subdivision 9, which is applying Web Content Accessibility Guidelines and 508, which is Technology Accessibility Law. As we move ahead to use our sales tax dollars and let profits and nonprofits use that to integrate their culture and some of their legacy, we still want everybody to be proficient in oral English. When you use assist technology, we allow more opportunities for people to understand oral English. As we all know, our first constitutional amendment is to freedom of speech, and one of them is being able to speak English as a nation, as one, yet everybody retains their own language. Currently, there's a process right now that Greg with the LCC knows about the documents coming back that are mandated are not fully accessible, created by the third parties that are using our state dollars. If they would just manually check their own documents with the required software, and frankly, I don't know any of that other than in Adobe Acrobat, that they just manually check their documents before they send them to the librarian, because she does not have an accessibility policy to check them, just that she makes sure she sends a notice out that they provide the outcomes of legacy. And there's really no checks and balances here. And frankly, if people are going to use our dollars, don't we want to make sure that they understand the accessibility piece as we move forward? But there's nothing that the Minnesota legislature, there's no 1962 bill, which is now an omnibus bill, but likely have to get a new number. Currently, the even your own bill, which is only a portable document format, is not fully accessible with structural underlying language. So now we are in a special session with less transparency. And perhaps and hopefully the working group for the legislature will find the funding to do that. Otherwise, the legislature can't claim to be an equal opportunity employer. And I would think that that's a relevant piece to how people are going to acquire this information effectively. So I thank you for the opportunity to speak on this. I still suggest that you check your own documents. As you know, I gave you a handout that requested in this meeting. And if you went to the second page of that, and I titled it A, it's posted on the Data Practice Commission from March 3rd, 2016. And there's a memo from Jason, who was the revisor, that specifically says in the fourth paragraph, that bills don't become fully accessible, meaning structural and underlying language will not read with the JAWS reader, which we have equipped the legislature library with, and will be identified until it gets an HTML format. So as we think about transparency, even in special sessions, here we are with less transparency again. Thanks for the opportunity to speak on this.
Thank you very much for coming today. And again, I'd like to thank you. You've been a persistent advocate all session, and we are, we're trying the best we can to address some of the needs. And you probably don't feel satisfied. I respect that, but we are trying to do some work. And so, but thank you for coming, and appreciate your voice. Thank you, sir.
I just can't stress enough that if it's something that you're improving and you don't have a continuous improvement plan to show that, then how do we know? So, once again, this is in your hands, and just making you aware of it. Thank you again for this opportunity to speak.
Thank you, sir. Department of Health, if Representative Guinness had a question, if you're... Thank you for joining us. Introduce yourself, and I don't know if you heard Representative. I think we'll start with her, and then you can then maybe state your name at that point, because I'm not sure she got to her question. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Representative Wiginius.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, in the House bill, we had enough money for the Health Department to create 8 new health risk limits. And without this money, since it's no longer in the bill, how many health risk limits will you be creating this in the next 2 years?
Go ahead, sir.
Mr. Chair, Chris Albrum with the Minnesota Department of Health. And Mr. Chair and Representative Wiginius, I might look to Tom. I believe we do about 5 a year health risk limits. And then we also do a number of contaminants of emerging concern that come out with a health risk number that's not promulgated as a health risk limit. So it's on that order, another 5 of those or so a year.
Chair Wiginius.
Well, thank you. The problem with not doing health risk limits and just doing values is the values are not enforceable. And what's worse, people will choose not to test because they don't have to. So that's the problem we ran into with TCE. There was no health risk limit for air protection. And that's, of course, one of the problems that that community is running into. And I am extraordinarily sympathetic with the members of that community. So that was one thing. But the other thing in the bill, we had enough money for testing the surface water, where surface water is used for drinking water and testing for contaminants. There are 25 utilities in the state that use surface water for drinking water. And, of course, Minneapolis and St. Paul are two of the biggest ones. You don't test at this point for contaminants. So without this money, will you be doing any or let me put it a different way. How will you be testing the surface water for drinking water contaminants? How often and how many contaminants?
Mr. Alvern.
Mr. Chair and committee members, there is LCCMR funding, about $1 million, to do sampling for contaminants of emerging concern in surface water. And I got the list, and it's a very long list of parameters that they'll be sampling. And were there to be more money, we would sample more parameters and, you know, seasonality and things. So we will be able to at least get a baseline of a significant number of parameters with that LCCMR funding. And I recognize it doesn't go nearly as far as you would have it, but at least it will give us a sense for some of the things that are in our surface water sources that we have not tested for in the past.
Chair Wagenius.
Well, yes, if I could follow up. First of all, we got a fiscal note that said you need far more money than $1 million to do testing. And we have 25 surface waters, and to do testing over different seasons, $1 million just is practically nothing. So the Department of Health is not, let me put it this way. So what are you going to do now that you don't have enough money to test routinely over different seasons for all 25 systems?
Mr. Alvarez.
Mr. Chair and Representative McGinnis, we're going to start with what we can, and we will find out a lot from that. I understand that there's a lot more we could do. That will give us a sense of what other things are out there. And if the demonstrates the need, then we'll come back and express that need in the future.
Chair Wagenius.
Just a final thing. Well, the Pollution Control Agency has already tested for pharmaceuticals in the Crow River, and they found that there are a ton of them. So we already know there's a need. And you haven't tested for pesticides or any of the new contaminants. I am extraordinarily disappointed on behalf of my constituents, particularly my moms and dads, who are concerned about drinking water. And I think I'm not the only legislator who has that concern, because we have all of these systems, and you have no idea what is coming into the systems. And since you have no idea what's coming into the systems, you don't know what to look for in the finished water. Minnesotans would be shocked to know that.
Thank you, Chair Wagenius. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I'm sorry I didn't close out the public comment. Any other public comment? Any other public comment? Seeing none. Any further questions? Representative Jung.
Mr. Chair, I just want to thank you and these conferees for working hard on this bill. I know that you had to, at times, fight hard with our Senate colleagues to get some of these appropriations going. So I really appreciate what you've done. And especially for my community, the amount of work you put in, I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Vice Chair, Chair Wazalek.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to, I think you heard a lot about Forever Green from a lot of people, and I got about between 150 and 200 emails from across the state. Requesting that we fully fund Forever Green. So I just wanted to say thank you for your advocacy on that, too, because I think it's a really important piece that a lot of us think should be an ag, but knowing that ag has a very small budget, we're happy to get funding for that because we know how good it is for land and soil and water. So appreciate your efforts on that as well.
Thank you. Many of these things were a team effort, and we all went across the finish line together, even though it was a very small room in the end, but I heard your voices and did the best we could, and I'm sorry for the failures, but we very much try to respect, you know, specifically Chair Wagenius. You were you know, a great leader and a voice that I heard through the whole entire process, and I tried to speak for that as best I could on the House positions. I know that you were coming for the changes of pure, you know, concern for all of us. It's, you know, sometimes we're in a political building, and I don't get that from you, you know, in these efforts. You have concerns, and you served on the Water Council, and I just, again, want to thank you, and we're not done fighting or trying to move the needle. I think the agencies have heard you, maybe not necessarily as strongly as we'd like in this bill, but I think they've definitely heard you, and I think moving forward, I think we'll hopefully have a better product. Chair Wagenius.
Well, I wish I had the same confidence that you do. I think I did sit on the Clean Water Council, and I was dumbfounded to find so little interest in drinking water outcomes. So we've spent $1 billion, and you heard the testimony. We've spent $1 billion, and where are we? We don't even test our surface water for drinking water contaminants.
Thank you, Chair Wagenius. I hope we all are listening, because I think it's a very important voice to be heard. So thank you. I think with that, so we're hopefully we can see you all in a special session soon. It was asked when, but just a final comment on this bill. And again, I really thank the members around this table on both sides of the aisle, and strong voices and effort. So thank you, and our staff, again, thank you. I'm just every day impressed with our staff of the legislature that helps move a great effort. I don't have any idea how they're awake, even, given all the bills that they're putting together. I mean, ours isn't quite as thick as healthcare. I was kind of hoping we could have been a prop on Representative Dowd's desk, but I don't know. But again, you know, we don't talk about the Lessard Sams piece much, but there's some amazing projects in there, and they have a very good staff, and there's some, I really encourage you all to take a look at those projects when we're not here and take a deeper dive, because there's some really great work that that so many of the committees are, or so many of the agencies and community groups are out, you know, Pheasants Forever, Trout Unlimited, Deer Hunters, but the DNR, but smaller groups all over the state doing great work. The Parks and Trails part, I really want to thank them this year. It was really neat to me to see that they all came together and testified as a group, the DNR, the Metro, and the Greater Minnesota, and it's a very much loved piece of this bill, and will continue to be in the connectivity and getting folks outside. I'm hoping that all of us can get outside soon. And certainly the arts part of the bill, the amazing work done by the arts and cultural, with the arts board doing incredible work all over the state from one end to the other. The same with the history folks doing amazing work, libraries all over the state, zoos, you know, all over. I mean, just endless with the great work in the arts part, public radio, TV, ampers, even, of course, our county fairs where Mary, maybe we could get your one more speech on the House floor. What happens at these county fairs. But, you know, and of course the water, there's some things that we can work on and hopefully we will continue to work on, but there's some good work that's going on and also with these water dollars. But we are in envy of the whole country, and, you know, we have to, and the voters very much support these dollars doing these good works, and I really want to thank everyone that's in the crowd and to bring you back to the groups that you're responsible for. And please, you know, we want to be able to renew this. And I think this bill shoots us on the path to be able to keep to renew this in the 15 years when we're done. We're in 10 years in, but again, thank you for everyone's time on this committee, and so hopefully we'll see you on the House floor. Thank you. With that, we are adjourned. Thank you.